Well, today we're in week three of our series called Staycation, and this season is kind of a staycation of sorts, because a lot of us are staying closer to home and having to live a little bit differently because of the pandemic going on. But here's what I really believe. I just know that God never wastes a season in our lives. Isn't that good news? God never wastes a season in our lives. In fact, I really believe that in this season, that God wants to use this season as a season of preparation for what God wants to do in your life next. And so in this series, we're preparing for that. We're talking about how we can work with God to leverage this season to grow, to become even more the person God wants us to be. Today, I want to talk with you about something that's been on my heart. And it's a message that I think is really important in this season. You see, we've been, for over 3 months, this COVID-19 outbreak has been kind of retraining us. It's been kind of conditioning us with new patterns. I was reading online the other day that psychologists have found that it usually takes between 66 days and 3 months for a new pattern to take hold in our lives. 66 days to 3 months for a new pattern to kind of become automatic. And here's what that means. That means that the habits that we're forming in this season are likely to stick. And some of those habits are really good. Like God is teaching us some really good things in this season. Things like learning how to finally slow down, to not have our pace out of pace, right? God is teaching us to spend more time with our family. That's an important thing. Maybe in this season, you've learned to trust God in even greater ways. But there's also some things and some habits that we're going to have to retrain ourselves and reorient ourselves as we turn the page into a new season. For instance, this COVID-19 outbreak has conditioned us to kind of staying away from people. Yeah, staying away from people, social distance, staying 6 feet apart. We're conditioned by that. And so that means for us spiritually, when it comes to anything happening spiritually in our lives, for over 3 months, it's basically just been about growing on the vertical plane in our faith. Basically, growing with your relationship with God, God in you, God in you, God in you, God doing something in your life. But I want you to know God doing something in you is just part of the Christian life. The other part of the Christian life is God not only wants to work in you, but God wants to work through you. He wants to work through you to make a difference in the world. That's your purpose part. And so as we get ready to turn the page, as things begin to open up more, I believe we have to transition from living out our faith just half of the way of God working in us, and we have to retrain our spiritual muscles for how God actually wants to work through us. He wants to work through us to change the world. And so here's my message today and my encouragement for you. Here it is. Get ready for God to use you. Get ready for God to use you. The thing is, God loves to work through his people, so get ready for God to use you. Today we're going to look at maybe one of the most famous stories in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. And a little bit of a spoiler alert, we're going to jump into the scene at the very end where David actually defeats the giant Goliath. But I want to look at this message today through a totally different lens and maybe a fresh way to help us in this season. So let's jump in. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is the end of the story, starting with verse 48. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 48. Here's what it says. It says, as the Philistine, that's Goliath, moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine, Goliath, on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Whoa, right? Violent. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. And so wherever you are today, I want you to help me out with my message. I want you to say something. I want you to speak something in your life. You just say it out loud. I don't know where you're watching from, but just say it out loud. I want you to, a little group participation. Are you ready? I want you to say, self, go ahead and say it to yourself, self, get ready for God to use you. You're saying this to yourself. Get ready for God to use you. That's the message today. Now, I love the story of David and Goliath. I love it. It's sometimes known as a kid's story, but as you can see with the cutting off of head of Goliath's head, it's not really a kid's story. It's gruesome. It's violent, but it's awesome, right? It's an awesome story. Let me just, since we jumped to the end of it, let's unpack a little bit about it before we move ahead. This battle that was going on between David and Goliath was really a story of representative combat. Basically, it's a really good way of fighting, and it makes a lot of sense. Back then, what they would do, one of the styles of fighting, is instead of the Israelites, or the Israelites, God's side, and the Philistines, that's Goliath's side, instead of all of them sending all their men to go get killed, they would basically say, well, they would pick one person, one champion, the best fighter to represent their side. And so the Philistines, they of course picked Goliath, and you're going to see in a little bit on God's side, they were supposed to pick one person and nobody wanted to go at first. And so basically whoever won between those two champions, that one battle would be the winner, and that would be the winner, their nation would be the winner overall. And there was a lot on the line in this battle because for days and days and days, the Philistines had been taunting God's people. It was not just a thing about strength and how big your army was. It was really a story of whose God was bigger. Who was the real God and whose God was bigger? And so Goliath had been saying, "Who wants to stand up and fight me?" And all the Israelites were like, "Not us! We don't want to go!" You know, they're freaked out, right? And Goliath was like, "Show us how big your God is." And they're like, "We want to, but we're scared." You know, it was one of these things. And so in the Valley of Elah, this young boy, David, faces this. He steps up and he faces this 9-foot giant named Goliath, who's been defying God's people and basically standing against God and his people and really from where God wanted them to go. And the whole time, none of them wanted to step up. None of God's people wanted to step up to fight Goliath because they thought it was about their strength. But this young boy, David, what does he do? He steps up, and with a sling and a stone and with the power of God, he overtook the unconquerable giant. He conquers the unconquerable giant that was right in front of them. And we love this story because all of us have faced giants in our lives that are bigger than us. All of us have faced things in our lives, giants in our lives that are bigger than us. For you, that giant may not be a person or a warrior standing in front of you, but the giant in front of you may be some kind of big obstacle that's been in your way. It may be a health thing that's going on in somebody's life. It may be an addiction that you just can't seem to overcome. Maybe your giant is fear. Maybe fear is crippling you from doing what God wants you to do. Maybe that giant in your life is getting out of debt. It just feels like a big hill, a giant to overtake. Maybe it's you're trying to settle into a new area and it just seems overwhelming. I don't know what the giant is, but we all have giants. And so as we watch David standing victorious as this young boy over the huge giant, it reminds us, no matter what giant is in front of us, nothing is too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. In fact, we love this story because we can see ourselves as the unlikely hero that's not good enough and not strong enough and who had to depend on God's power for God to do something even greater in his life than he could even imagine. But I want you to see today, that's just the snapshot. We're going to dig backwards in the story. Because I want you to see this today, that moment where David stands victorious over Goliath, that moment almost didn't happen. It almost didn't happen. He almost missed the opportunity to be used by God in the greatest way that he's known for. And I want you to know that the same thing can happen in your life, and it can happen in my life if we're not ready for God to use us. And so, you got to know, before David was more than just a giant killer. He was also, at that time, a king in training. So let's dig back. That was 1 Samuel 17. Let's go back one chapter, and let's check out what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you a little bit of the context, then we'll read it. But a little bit of flashback. God is about to select the next king of Israel. The first king of Israel was Saul. And Saul, he looked the part. He had the stature. He looked like a king. He was strong. But the problem was, although he had the stature, Saul didn't have a shepherd's heart. In fact, Saul tried to rely so much on his own power that oftentimes he would get ahead of God and he would forget to rely on God's power. And so God says, I'm picking a new king. And he says, the next king of Israel is going to be somebody, God says, who is a man after my own heart. I'm just looking for a man after my own heart, which means God is basically saying, I'm looking for a king and a leader who understands his dependency on me to be his king and to be his leader. And so God sent the prophet Samuel. Back then, prophets would be the one to anoint kings. And so God sent the prophet Samuel to David's daddy's house, Jesse. David's father's house is Jesse. And Samuel was sent there to anoint the next king. And all Samuel was told is, go to Jesse's house. You're going to anoint one of his sons to be the next king. The problem was Samuel didn't know which son was going to be the king. And it just shows that it's funny how God works. Sometimes God will give you just enough details. He'll give you just enough light to send you in the right direction. But sometimes not enough details where you know every single part of the plan, so that you have to keep depending on God every step of the way. And so David's father's house, Jesse. Samuel shows up at Jesse's house. And just imagine, he knocks on the door. I am the prophet Samuel, and God has sent me to select one of your sons to be the next king. I mean, that'd be like, first of all, some of you would just hang up because you're like, no, it's another scam call, right? He knocks on the door, and David's daddy, Jesse, is probably so proud. It's a proud dad moment. And so what does he do? He's like, oh, you want one of my boys to be the king? He's like, okay, well, I've got 8 sons. Bring me the 7 oldest sons. And he has them all line up, you know? And so he lines up Eliab first, and Eliab is the oldest son. And he's impressive. He's got the stature. He's handsome. He's strong. He looks like a king. He's the obvious choice. And yet when Samuel passes in front of Eliab, the Lord says, nope, that's not the one. That's not the one I'm looking for. And so Samuel and everybody's confused, but then he moves down the line and he looks at the next son. He's like, nope, all these 7 sons look impressive, but one after one, God said, nope, that's not him. Nope, that's not him. Nope, that's not him. That's not him. That's not him. He goes down the line, 7 sons. That's not the one. And all of a sudden, the prophet Samuel started to get confused and maybe worried. He was probably thinking, God told me to come here to anoint the next king. And one of your sons is going to be the king. And he starts to think, well, none of them are these guys. And so here's what happens, 1 Samuel 16, verse 10. It says, Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, check out this question. He asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? This is the funniest question. Like, are these all the sons you have? Like, you know, I'm supposed to anoint one of your sons. Are these all your sons? Because it didn't make sense. And check out the way David's daddy answered this question. He says, well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. And so just think about this scene for a minute, you know? David's daddy didn't even think David was qualified enough or talented enough or old enough or strong enough to stand among the other brothers to be recognized as a possible one to get anointed as the king. I think this is just a word for all of us about being used by God. If you have ever felt unqualified, you're a perfect candidate for God. If you've ever felt like you're not spiritual enough or you're not talented enough, or you're not experienced enough, or you don't know what to do, God can use you right where you are. Because here's the thing, the good news is God specializes in using ordinary people like you and me, who are available and who are willing for God's power to work in and through your life. And so here's the question, are you open and available for God to use you? Are you open and available for God to use you? Here's the thing, the good news is God uses us oftentimes in spite of our weaknesses. In fact, sometimes God will even call you to serve or to be used in a way that is your weakness. Because God tries to show all the time that it's not about your strengths, and God can do something in spite of your weaknesses. Because when God uses weak people, when God uses your weaknesses, it's the best way to display his strength and his glory to the world around you. And so I want you to notice this. Jesse, David's daddy, didn't even call David by his name. He didn't invite him to come into the room, and he didn't call him by name. What did he say? He says, well, they're still the youngest. They're still the youngest. Basically, he's the afterthought. He's the one out in the field taking care of the sheep. He doesn't really look like a king, and I'm sure he's not the pick, you know? That's basically what his daddy's saying, because Jesse didn't see David for his potential. He only saw him in the low position he was in. I want you to notice that when this scene happens, David wasn't sharpening his sword and training for battle like his brothers. He's in a low position. He's tending the sheep, hidden off far off in a field, doing a remedial job for a would-be king. But I want you to check this out. In a hidden field didn't keep God from finding and calling David. A hidden field didn't keep God from finding and calling David. And it just shows. Sometimes we think, if God's going to use me in big ways, I got to get in the spotlight, right? If I could just get noticed, right? If I could get noticed in the spotlight, then God can use me. Because God can't find somebody if you're just doing something behind the scenes or something remedial. And yet, here David is doing something really small, not even being addressed by his name. And yet God can look way far off in a field and say, that's my man. Here's what it says in verse 12. Let's continue, verse 12. It says this. It says, so he sent for him and had David brought in. David was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. God looks around and God sees little David. He sees little, young, scrawny, shepherd boy David. And he says, that's my guy. That's him. That's my guy. That's a man after my own heart. Like, God is able to see things that other people can't see. And I love this. The boy that didn't even get invited into the room was the one that God had in mind to use from the very beginning. Isn't that cool? See, we oftentimes think that in order for God to use us, we either have to get in the spotlight to get noticed, or we've got to be impressive. You know? Like, we got to look impressive in front of people. We got to be impressive in front of God and hide our flaws and our weaknesses. Because that's the way the world works, doesn't it? When the world and when people in the world look for people, they look on the outside, right? What do people look for? That people look for appearance, you know? Do you look the part? They look for resume. What have you accomplished? They look for experience. They look for your talent level. And God, I want you to know, God can use all of that too, but you know what God looks for most in people? God looks at your heart. God looks at your heart. And in fact, God wants men and women whose hearts beat for him and with him and who are passionate about living out God's purposes in the world. And when God sees men and women like that, God says, that's her. That's him. That's the man I want. That's the woman I want. That's the teenager. That's the child. That's the person that I want. That's him. That's her. That's the one. And so I love that God often selects and calls and uses people who other people oftentimes look over. Maybe people who usually might get rejected. It just shows that God doesn't need us to be impressive in order to use us. And so here's the bottom line for today, and it's this, is that God looks for people who love him and people who are available and willing to being used. God looks for people who love him, that's the first step, and people who are available and willing to being used. That's who God looks for. Because in God's eyes, usability is never about your strength. It's always about your openness to letting God's strength come in your life and work through your life. That's what God wants. In fact, that's what the story of David and Goliath was about. David was this weak, small, little boy, this little vessel who loves God and who is willing and available for God and his power to work through him. And so let me just tell you this. Don't ever look down on the place that God has you. Don't ever look down on the position that you're in right now. Don't ever look down on the opportunity that God has put in front of you. Sometimes it looks small in our eyes. For David, being a shepherd probably didn't feel very important at times, you know? I mean, he probably wanted to swing his sword and train for battle alongside of his brothers. And yet, where did God have him? Well, he was in a season where David was in a field leading a bunch of sheep, you know? But even that position that God had him in was a season of preparation that God was using to prepare him to be a king. Because if David hadn't have been in a field far off and learning what it means to depend on God and not the spotlight, if David had not have been leading sheep, he wouldn't have been prepared to one day lead and shepherd God's people to one day be their king. And so I want you to just think for a minute about your life. I want you to just think for a minute about your story. I want you to think about something that in your life that you almost missed out on. You didn't miss it, but you almost missed out on it. Something maybe you were really scared of to be a part of at the time, but instead of saying no because of fear or because of, you know, apathy or laziness, instead of saying no because of what other people might think, you had the courage to say yes. And you're so glad you did because you might have missed it. I can think of a lot of examples in my life, but I remember when I was in seminary getting this on Facebook, I got a friend request from this girl named Mandy, who's now my wife. I got this friend request from her, and I accepted the friend request, but I just felt compelled to take a next step. I just felt compelled to send her a private, uncreepy message, you know, that basically required a little bit of a response that would hopefully lead to a conversation. But I was a little bit nervous to do that. I was like, well, maybe I should just play it cool. Because of fear, I almost didn't send the message. And if I didn't send that message, I might have missed her. For so many of you, one day you either, maybe you got online and started searching for a church, or maybe somebody invited you, and one day you took the step to come to this church for the very first time, and you were probably nervous at first, not really knowing what to expect. Maybe you were kind of had low expectation of what church might even be about, you know, but maybe you pulled into the parking lot that day, and maybe you thought to yourself, man, Can God really move at a school that's at a church that's meeting in a school? And maybe you almost missed it, but instead you took the step to come in, and so many other steps along the way. And I know your stories because so many of you have shared them with me, that I know that many of you can look back at that moment and you can say, wow, I'm so glad that if I didn't take that step to step in the doors of that new church, I might have missed all the ways that God has worked in my life and in my family's life. If we didn't take that step, we might have missed all the ways that we found real community in this area. If we didn't take that step, I might have missed all that God has done and shown me and all the ways that I've been able to serve and use my gifts to find an even greater purpose. Here's the thing, in the same way, David almost missed it too. And you could call it fate. Some might say being in the right place at the right time, but I know that it is God who is working in all seasons, at all times, and in all things, and who wants to work in the lives of every single person. But David didn't go straight. He didn't go straight to being the king. He's anointed as the king in chapter 16, but he didn't go straight to trying on crowns, king's crowns and king's robes. He didn't start practicing his king's wave. By the way, I've been watching Disney Plus, and I learned how to wave like royalty, the way they do it at Disney. Are you ready? Here it goes. Here's a king or a princess wave, all right? It goes like this. Wash the windows. Wash the windows. There's a spot. There's a spot. Wash the windows. Wash the windows. There's a spot. There's a spot. All right, that's the princess way to wave, but we'll just imagine that that's the royalty and the man way too, okay? But anyway, David's not practicing his king's wave and stuff like that, because David was anointed as king, but it wasn't yet time for him to be the king. You know, he had to go back to the same field to take care of the same sheep. He had to be faithful to serve God right where God had him in that season. But that very time was a time of preparation that God was getting David ready for something even greater. And so David, he had to be faithful to God to serve in the small things before God could use him for much bigger things. Let me say that to you. God oftentimes needs us to be faithful in the small things. He wants us to be faithful in the small things before he'll oftentimes call us to much bigger things. You know, I don't know, sometimes we want to sign up for the big things now. Like, God, can I just wait on the bench until you give me like a really big assignment? Because I'll be used by you to slay the giant. I'll do stuff like that, but I don't want to do this small task. But sometimes I wonder if God says to us, you know what? How can I use you for something bigger if you're not willing to serve me in something basic? Like, how could I use you to serve with something big if you're not willing to do something small and basic? See, we've got to get in a position where we're willing to serve God no matter the task, no matter what it is, because you never know what stands in the balance of you saying yes. David was doing the same thing. He's anointed as a king, and yet he goes back to doing the same thing day after day as he was doing before, taking care of sheep, until one day his father told him to go to the battlefield and to do something really small. I want you to go to the battlefield where Goliath is, but I want you to do something really small. And here's what happens, 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 16. It says, for 40 days, the Philistine, that's Goliath, came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. So this is right before the battle, and he's been taunting and taunting and taunting and taunting God's people. Nobody wanted to fight him. Verse 17, it says, now Jesse said to his son David, take the ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. So just imagine this. You just got anointed as king, and all of a sudden his daddy says, David, I want you to go to the battlefield, and I want you to bring bread to your brothers. They're fighting. They're ready to fight. Go bring bread to your brothers. And this is a moment where David could have said, Daddy, do you even realize who you're talking to? Do you even realize what has just happened in my life? That I'm going to be the king someday. Didn't you hear the prophet? I'm a man of potential. Like, don't ask me to do something small for you. Don't let me run errands for you, because I don't want to serve God and people in some small way. But guess what? David didn't do that. If David didn't bring bread to the battlefield doing something small, he would have actually missed the big moment of how God wanted to use him in a much bigger way. He would have missed it. See, he wouldn't have even been there at the battle with Goliath. If he didn't take bread to the battlefield, he would have missed the battle with Goliath. Because here's the thing, this is crazy. He's just been serving sheep and serving sheep and serving sheep. David, go bring your brothers bread. Guess what happened? The very same day that David brought bread to the battlefield for his brothers is the exact same day that he stood victorious over the giant Goliath. And if he didn't do the small things then, he wouldn't have been in position for God to use him in the biggest way that he's known for in his life. Here's what I'm saying to you. God's wanting to use you. And I don't know the magnitude and the moment and what it's going to be for you, but what I know is that we just want to be people who are open and available to God. That when God says move, we move. When God says go, we go. When God says serve, we serve, no matter how big and no matter how small. And we trust God as open and willing vessels. We trust God that God will work in us and through us to change the world. And so here's the thing, as we finish up today, as we get ready for this new season, I want to encourage you, as we turn the page and get ready as things begin to open up, here's what I want to encourage you by. God doesn't just want to work in you. He wants to work through you. And so the encouragement is this. Get ready for God to use you. Get ready for God to use you. Because God often does his best work through ordinary people like you and me. The bottom line for today is this. God looks for people who love him and people who are available and willing to being used. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we want to love you more. We thank you for all the ways that you're working in us, but God, would you also begin to prepare us for the purpose part of this, for how you want to work through us. God, would you help us to never be hard-hearted and to think that we're above something. Would you help us to always be open vessels who are open and willing and available for God, your power to come in and to work in and through our lives. God, I pray that you would begin to stir up the passions in us of the ways that you want to use us in the world. But God, would you help us to never forget our dependency on you? And even if we're serving, even if it feels like we're in a season right now where we're serving you in some small field, doing some small job in a very unnoticeable, hidden field somewhere, God, I pray that this would encourage us that no season of our life is wasted with you. That every season, God, you use it to make us who you want us to be. And sometimes those seasons are the things that prepare us for the next season and the next things that you're calling us to do. And so, God, would you just fill us? Would you empower us? And would you help us to remain open and available? And when you give us those opportunities to be used, would you help us to lean in, to not miss it, and to say yes? In Jesus' name, amen.